بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين، صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama kiram, respected elders and brothers in Islam, we have approached the end of yet another year. Whilst some people may be busy in celebrations, firework displays, etc., this is actually a moment for some sober reflection for a believer. The passing of another year, the dawn and arrival of a new year, as the poet says, reminding us, غافل تجھے گریال یہ دیتا ہے منادی کہ گردوں نے گڑی عمر کی ایک اور گھٹا دی. The poet says, we who are unmindful of the hereafter, unmindful of the reality of life, گریال تجھے یہ دیتا ہے منادی, that clock, the ticking of that clock is silently advising you, is silently but very loudly reminding you and telling you کہ گردوں نے گری عمر کی ایک اور گھٹا دی, that the moving of that of the arm, the hour arm, is now 9 o'clock, then 10 o'clock, it's now January, then February, and now it's end of the year. So that movement of that clock, in actual fact, is an indication that a portion of your life has passed. And how many more years do we have in our lives? How much longer do we have to live? At the end of the year, generally we find they will have reflections over the year. What happened in 2022? What are the different happenings? So these are also moments for us to sit back and reflect, where was I last year? And where have I come this year? How much have I progressed in terms of my targets, my real targets and my real objective in life? And how much more, how many more years do I have in my life to fulfill those targets? On one occasion, Sayyidina Usama radiallahu anhu, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhuma, who was known as the favorite, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hibbu Rasulillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very fond of him. Although he was dark in complexion, although his mother was an Abyssinian, a black lady, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very affectionate and had a lot of time and love for him. To such an extent that Sahaba knew that if there is something that we want to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best person was Usama. So on one occasion, Usama radiallahu anhu, he purchased something and he bought it on credit. He agreed with the seller, give me terms, give me time, 1 month, 30 days, I will pay this debt. I will settle it. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam learnt of this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am surprised at Usama. I'm astonished. Usama, you bought something on terms that you'll pay 30 days later. By the qasam of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, by the qasam of Allah, when I blink my eye, I do not have that certainty that I will blink my eye again the second time, mort and death might just come to me. By the qasam of Allah, when I lift that glass or that bowl to drink, then I am not certain whether I will live to put that glass back down. And by the qasam of Allah, when I put that morsel into my mouth, then I am not certain whether I will live to swallow that morsel. And you, Usama, you bought something on credit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for each one of us to leave this world settling all our debts. Seriousness of debts, I know I'm digressing. But Sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Nabi of Allah, shaheed, person who gives his life, can you imagine? Gives his life for the sake of Allah. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, every person who passes away, he is questioned in his grave, مَنْ رَبُّكُ وَمَا دِينُكُ وَمَاذَا تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلُ Who is your Rabb? What is your deen? But مَا بَالُ الشَّهِيد? Why is the shaheed not questioned in his grave? There's no questioning for him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, replies, there is no need to ask him who is his Rabb. The fact that the shaheed gave his life for Allah is enough testimony that Allah is his Rabb. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his Nabi. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that what is the position of a shaheed? He says, all his sins are forgiven, everything. No hisab, nothing to worry about in the hereafter. He's meeting Allah with a clean sheet. Sahabi starts moving, going away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quickly sends someone, call that person. Person is called back. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ سَارَّنِي بِهِ جِبْرِيلِ After I had answered you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam, and Jibreel alayhi salam corrected me and told me that every sin of a shaheed is forgiven except the debt that he has left behind. Debt is not forgiven. Even though he may be a shaheed whose position Allah has celebrated in the Quran. So nonetheless, we say that the coming of the end of the year, this is a moment of sober reflection. I know it's the time of the year when many of us are on holiday. And alhamdulillah, there is a nikah also taking place today in this masjid. So it may not be the right, I won't say right, but may not be the most appropriate topic to speak about. But this is something that we have to bear with, is something, a reality of life. That this is a moment for us to reflect that how much have I achieved and how much longer do I have in my life. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ Allah reminds us, Allah doesn't say that turn to your Rabb, make tawbah, ask Allah for His forgiveness, reflect over the word Allah uses. Allah says, وَسَارِعُوا That, O my servants, O believers, hasten. Hurry up. Time is running out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands our psychology. Allah forgive us. But generally what we feel, I'm still young. There's a lot of time. We'll see tomorrow. We'll make tawbah, we'll change our lives. Allah is reminding us that this is the deception of shaitan. 1 year has passed, whether we will live to see the end of next year, only Allah knows. So don't wait for the 11th hour. Don't wait for the 11th hour, because you may pass away at 10:30. You may not reach the time that when I'm old, later on we'll see, I'll make tawbah. Allah says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ Hasten, make quick, hurry up, quickly, rush to the forgiveness of your Rabb. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting to forgive us. The delay is on our side. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who says, Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us the same thing, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ سَبْعَ That hasten to do a'mal, hasten to turn to Allah, سَبْعًا before one of seven things will happen. Generally a person is waiting for tomorrow. He's waiting, why? I'll have more time. I'll be set up. I'll retire. I'll have more time. I can sit in the masjid. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reminding us that remember that tomorrow you are waiting for, in reality you are waiting for one of seven things that may happen to you. وَهَلْ تَنْتَظِرُونَ إِلَّا فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا One possibility. Today, you're working towards a retirement tomorrow. But only Allah knows tomorrow, it may turn out that you are suffering and you are facing poverty. And such poverty, munsiya, which will make you forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will make you so worried and so concerned about getting out of your poverty that you will forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أو غِنًا مُطْغِيًا. Or if you're waiting for retirement and to settle down and have more free time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, perhaps Allah may bestow you with wealth, but that wealth may lead you to rebel and act against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to very often make this dua, that, oh Allah, I seek your protection from poverty that makes me forget about you. And I seek your protection from that wealth that makes me rebel against you. The purpose of wealth is to come closer to Allah. The purpose of poverty is to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أو هَرَمًا مُفْنِدًا. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, today you are young, you are healthy. You are able to do things. You are waiting for tomorrow. Tomorrow may bring old age. And that old age comes with it all its added baggages. Person is becomes senile, becomes weak. Now what is he going to do? So badiru bil amal, hasten to do amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wasari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum, hasten to the forgiveness of your Rabb. Wa jannatin arduha as-samawati wal ard, and hasten and rush and make an effort to acquire the jannah and the paradise, the breadth of which, the width of which is equal to the heavens and the earth. Generally we find the length of a property is more than the breadth. The breadth is smaller, shorter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the width and the breadth of Jannah is equal to the heavens and the earth. So we can imagine what must be the length. And that also Mufassirin explained that this expression in the Quran is in accordance to the understanding of man. Man, the largest thing that he can perceive with his eye, heavens and the earth. The earth and the heavens. So in other words, the width of Jannah is even greater than that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to make it easier for us to understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hasten to the Jannah, the width of which is so huge, so vast. Reminds me of the saying of Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam, when he was leaving this world, he gave his son some parting advices. One of the parting advices he gave his son, he told his son that throughout my lifetime, I gave you so many advices. And the advices of Luqman alayhi salam are famous. Luqman al-Hakim, even the Quran Sharif has quoted many of his advices. But he says, now that I'm leaving this world, I give you one special advice. And one of the advices he gave him, he said, occupy yourself with the effort of the hereafter in proportion to your stay in the hereafter. And occupy yourself with the effort of this world in proportion to your stay in this world. Again, a reflection for us. Allah says, work and hasten and rush to your Jannah. How much in this year have we worked and rushed towards our Jannah? How much have we worked and rushed towards the comfort of this world, which we must do? We are living in this world, so we will work towards that. But how much have you worked for the comfort of the hereafter? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the last two people that will be taken out from the fire of Jahannam, and may Allah protect us all. And it is not difficult to protect ourselves from the fire of Jahannam. Very simple. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in a hadith so many things we can save ourselves. But one simple amal that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, oh my ummah, if you want to meet Allah tomorrow, غَدًا مُسْلِمًا مُؤْمِنًا with Iman and Islam, in the condition that Allah is happy with you, in the condition that you will go into Jannah, doesn't take 5 hours, 8 hours, very little effort, minimal effort. فَلْيُحَافِظْ عَلَى هَٰؤُلَاءِ الصَّلَوَاتِ حَيْثُ يُنَادَى بِهِمْ. Oh my ummah, that salah which Allah made faraz upon you, that salah which Allah made faraz upon you out of His kindness. Because Allah knows that the only key to enter into Jannah is salah. The key to Jannah is salah. So because the key to Jannah is salah, my servants, I don't want any one of you not to enter into Jannah. So I make it farz that you have to get that key. You have to perform your salah. That's all you have to do. Be punctual on your salah when the adhan is called out. The promise of the Nabi of Allah, you will meet Allah tomorrow in a way that not only you will be looking forward to the meeting, Allah will be looking forward to meet you as well. So the last two people to be taken out from the fire of Jahannam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell one of those two people, that ask me whatever you want, sal wa tamanna, ask, express your every desire. So he will begin asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith says, yulaqqinuhu Allah. He will reach a point where he doesn't have anything more to ask for. Allah will remind him, you didn't ask for this, and what about that, and what, and he will ask and ask and ask. For how long? For 3 days continuously he will ask Allah. I want this, and I want a Jannah like that, and I want this, and I want that. After he's exhausted everything, nothing more to ask, Allah says, now you asked everything? Yes. He says, هَذَا لَكْ وَمِثْلُهُ مَا وَأَشْرَةُ أَمْثَالِهِ مَا. That I will give you this, and double that, and 10 times what you have asked also, this is all for you. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah says, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This Jannah has been prepared for the muttaqeen, for those who have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah highlights few important qualities of the muttaqeen, which I would like to share with you on this moment of reflections on the year 2022 and resolutions for the year 2023. Just yesterday, one youngster was delivering a lecture, and he mentioned a very inspiring short incident. He says, Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi alayhi, once was traveling, and he had to use the bathroom. So when he went to the bathroom, they said, this is, you know, pay to enter. You got to pay to use this bathroom. So Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi alayhi, began to cry. So the people around him said, that, oh, Sheikh, it's just a few pennies. If you can't pay, we'll pay it for you. Why are you crying? So he says, I'm not crying that I have to pay to enter this toilet. But a thought ran through my mind that when to enter a dirty, filthy place like a toilet, I have to pay and enter. Then how do I expect to enter the Jannat of my Allah for free? Without paying. I have to pay for it. There's something I have to do. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have specially prepared my Jannah for those who have taqwa. And who are the muttaqeen? The believers. That is the condition of a believer. He has taqwa. Taqwa is has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights 3 special actions here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. The muttaqeen are those who spend. And the mufassirin, may Allah reward them, how beautifully they highlight that Allah did not specify what they spend. Meaning, it is not only the spending of wealth, but the muttaqeen are those who spend, they give whatever they can give. Whether it is their wealth, whether it is their time, whether it is their energy, whatever it is, whatever they can spend, spending is not restricted to wealth. In other words, the mindset of the muttaqeen, of the mu'mineen, is that I should be such a person that I am of benefit to others. I give off to others. And since it is also a nikah taking place, this applies in every aspect of our lives. This should be our mindset. Unfortunately today, we have become very self-centered, very selfish. Allah forgive us, myself included. Our concern is my own comfort. My comfort first. I need to go on a holiday, so it's my comfort. What is happening to my family members, to my neighbors, to my parents, doesn't concern me any longer. When it comes to some good things or some good times, I must have it, my children must have it. The other people around me, I'm not concerned about them. Now this wasn't the way of the mu'mineen. The way of a believer is as much as he's concerned about himself, he's concerned of others. Allah forgive us, we have even become selfish in our du'as. ask ourselves, when last did I make dua for the ummah? When last did I make dua for my brothers and my sisters and that uncle for my community? When last did I make dua? Allah forgive us, today we don't even make dua for ourselves also. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah used to say, when Allah gives you tawfiq to make dua, Allah only gives tawfiq of dua to that person whom Allah wants to give him something. If He doesn't want to give you, He won't give you tawfiq for dua. So the way, the mindset of the muttaqeen is they are not self-centered. And this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would impress on the sahaba even from a young age. Famous incident, we know that young child was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, plate of dates were brought. So as children, and we are the same, an-nafsu kat-tifl, every person, we have a nafs within ourselves, we have that desire and feelings within ourselves. To understand ourselves, we should look at the child. Exactly the same. What qualities are found in a child is also found in us. But being adults, we cannot behave like children. So the child sees the dates, lovely, beautiful, he goes and he grabs a few. Exactly the same thing happens to us. It's some good opportunity, grab it for ourselves. Although I got so much, I can't carry it in my hand. But I still want that. No, no, leave the next person, I need that more. So he grabs it, takes it in his hand. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrects that youngster. He says, no, take one. Take one, let everybody else take. When everyone has taken, and there is little more left, then you take a second one. Same, the same mindset, that don't be selfish. Don't only worry of your own comfort, worry of others as well. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ Allah says, those who spend فِي السَّرَّاءِ in good, prosperous conditions, وَالضَّرَّاءِ and in adverse, difficult conditions. Again, explaining to us that charity spending is not only for the wealthy. Remember, the value of 1 rand, if a person has only 100 rands, and he spends 1 rand out of that 100, and the next person has 100 million, and he gives 1 million out of that 100 million, in the eyes of Allah, both are equal. In fact, maybe that the person who spends that 1 out of 100 is even closer and greater in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One sahabi told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, I don't have any money to spend in charity. So I decided, I'm poor, I don't have money, but I have my izzah, subhanallah. I have my respect and my integrity. So I have decided that I will spend my integrity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how is that? That I made up my mind that from today, whoever abuses me, whoever insults me, whoever attacks my dignity and respect and honor, I will not say anything. I will forgive him for the sake of Allah, and I will spend my dignity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ Time is running out, but very quickly. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ And those who suppress, control the anger, and not only control the anger, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ One beyond that. One is they control themselves. Anger is a natural phenomena. Allah has created us with anger. It's not an excuse to behave in a certain way. People say, I was angry. I don't know what happened. I lost myself. It's not an excuse. Allah has created it within us to use it in the correct occasions. Yes, there are occasions when we use our anger for the sake of Allah, for the sake of His deen. But otherwise, we have to control that anger. So they suppress the anger, and not only that, one level beyond that, after suppressing the anger, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ And they forgive people. The person who has angered them, they control, they don't blurt out anything. What Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the strong person is not that person, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ Not that person who says, I'll show him a point, I'll fix him up, I'll put him in his place. Who he thinks he is, that is not a strong person, that is easy. When a person has a power and position to put the next person in his place, what is difficult? When their wife says something, to silence her and to put her in a place, what is difficult? Because the person is in the position of authority. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La, that is not a strong person, but the strong person is, الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ the true strong person is a person who can control himself, compose himself at the time when anger overtakes him. So والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس. So much more can be said, but time has run out very quickly. I would like to share with you the third quality of these pious, of these muttaqin, and may Allah inspire us with these qualities. والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those when they do some wrong, we all humans, some point or the other, we are going to do something wrong. So those who end up committing some guna, some wrong, they have wronged somebody, wronged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذكروا الله. They remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they remember the power of Allah. They remember the warnings of Allah. They remember the promises of Allah. They remember the favors of Allah. And فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. They turn to Allah and they ask Allah for forgiveness. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say, الْعَجَبُ مِمَّنْ يَهْلِكْ وَمَعَهُ النَّجَارِ. That I am astonished at the person who says that I am destroyed. He says, I'm so gunegar, I'm so sinful, I can't make dua, you make dua for me. There's no person like that. I'm feeling so bad, so down, so dirty, so depressed, I feel hard to come to the masjid. No. Al-ajab mimman yalik. I am astonished at the person who says he's destroyed. He says, I'm finished, I did so much of wrong, I'm finished now. No. وَمَعَهُ النَّجَاةِ. Whereas the key and the road to salvation and saving himself is within his own hands. Leave the next person. The key to najat is within our own hands. And what is the key to najat? Sayyidina Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu anhu used to say, simple. You're feeling down. You're feeling so miserable. You're feeling you're finished. You've done so much of wrong. Go make wudu. Perform two rakats of salah. And with sincerity once, ask Allah to forgive you. And Allah has forgiven every single thing. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Hazrat Ali also used to say, مَا أَلْهَمَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا التَّوْبَةَ أَوْ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ وَهُوَ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يُعَذِّبَهُ. When Allah gives someone the tawfiq of tawbah, then he must be happy. It means Allah doesn't want to punish that person. Allah wants him to come close. And Allah goes on to say, he reminds us, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Just remember who else is there who can forgive our sins beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In conclusion, I would like to mention the saying of one Arabi, one villager. He was holding the ghilaf of the Kaaba and making dua. And what a beautiful dua. He says, Ya Rabbi. He says, Oh my Rabb, Inna tarki istighfarak ma ilmi bisa'ati afwika la'ajz. He says, Oh my Rabb, if I don't ask you for forgiveness, knowing the extent of your mercy and clemency and forgiveness, then this is only my foolishness. فَكَمْ تَتَحَبَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنِّعَمْ مَعَ غِنَاكَ عَنِّي. He says, Oh my Rabb, how many times in every day I see you expressing your love for me through the different favors you give me. How many times every day I see you expressing your love for me through the favors you bestow upon me. مَعَ غِنَاكَ عَنِّي. Although you don't need me, O Allah. You don't need me. But still you keep on showing me your love, hoping that my banda will come back to me. وَكَمْ أَتَبَغَّضُ إِلَيْكَ بِالْمَعَاسِي مَعَ فَقْرِي إِلَيْكَ. And oh my Rabb, and how many times I express my disobedience and my hatred towards you by disobeying you, although I know at the end of the day I need you. And then he goes on to say, Oh my Allah, forgive me. أَدْخِلْ عَظِيمَ جُرْمِ أَدْخِلْ عَظِيمَ جَرِيمَتِي فِي عَظِيمِ عَفْوِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Oh Allah, my great sins that I have committed, enter those sins in your great mercy and forgive me, O most merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us. Ameen. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ.